Thank you for listening to this Podcast One production. Available on Apple Podcasts and Podcast One.
Today's show is brought to you by Bombas Socks. Visit bombas.com/darkness and get 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/darkness for 20% off your first purchase. bombas.com/darkness. You know, Tim, when I was in school, the cool thing was torn blue jeans, sleeveless denim jackets, white t-shirts, and bandanas. Well, at least that was my image of cool. I was kind of a Bruce Springsteen-y guy. And you were cool if you had it, and you weren't if you didn't. Now, it's Bombas socks that bring out all the envy on the schoolyard, which isn't really all that surprising. I mean, they are the most comfortable kids' socks ever. They're colorful, literally bursting with color. They even have a little colorful bee on them. And comfortable. Did I mention comfortable? So comfortable. Tim and I wear Bombas socks all the time. So when doing back-to-school shopping, I wanted my kids' feet to feel as elegant and perfectly tailored as our feet do. So we got them Bombas socks. They're affordable. They're comfortable. They're designed with several comfort innovations that help make them feel better than any other kids' socks ever made. So send your kids back to school with the socks that keep them comfy, colorful, and ready to take on the school year. And since Bombas donates a pair of socks for every pair purchased, you should get yourself some. I wear Bombas every day. As a matter of fact, I've got a full selection of their dress socks. I love the support. I love the feel. I love the cushioning of it. They keep my feet cool in the summer, warm in the winter. It's black magic, Tim. It's just really good engineering. It's definitely one of those two things. Visit bombas.com/darkness, and you can get 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/darkness for 20% off your first purchase. bombas.com/darkness.
There is a place that is spoken about only in whispers. A dark area that spawns the beginnings of urban legends. A place where anything can happen and usually does. During the light of day, it hides just outside of view. But when the sun goes down, spirits, creatures of the night, roam free, and things do go bump in the night. It is in every state and every country, and there is no escaping it, no matter how safe you feel behind your locked doors and latched windows. So we invite you to turn down the lights and turn up your radio while we join Dave Schrader and Tim Dennis, your hosts, on a journey into the darkness on the edge of town.
Hello and welcome. You've made it through another week. Congratulations. We're here for you. Your buddies Dave and Tim on Beyond the Darkness, the best in paranormal talk radio. It's a supernatural news parashare Saturday. And Tim,
yes,
I've got some news I'd like to share to kick off today's show.
All right.
Well, you know, we talked about the fact that I'll be a part of a program called The Holzer Files, which begins airing October 3rd and will run for 10 weeks every Thursday night on the Travel Channel.
Yep.
Well, they've just announced Haunted Salem Live. It's a four-hour live ghost investigation taking place on October 4th. That's Friday, October 4th at 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific. Haunted Salem Live is a four-hour live ghost hunt from one of America's most haunted cities, Salem, Massachusetts. Led by a team of Travel Channel's paranormal enthusiasts, Katrina Weidman and Jack Osborne from Portals to Hell, Amy Bruni, Adam Berry, Chip Coffey from Kindred Spirits, Dalen Spratt, Juwan Moss, and Marcus Harvey, the Ghost Brothers' haunted house guests, will be investigating. I'll be a part of the show, and so will Cindy Keza from The Holzer Files. It's an immersive multi-platform event that will investigate three of Salem's most haunted locations, tied to the infamous witch trials. Teams will simultaneously lead separate paranormal investigations around the city as they seek to expose the hauntings that have plagued this historic city for hundreds of years. Locations include the Ipswich Jail, where prisoners condemned to die for practicing witchcraft were held. There's the Proctor House, home of John Proctor, the first male accused and hanged for practicing witchcraft, and Rockefeller's, the site of the original meeting house where over 150 people, including farmer Giles Corey were accused and ordered to stand trial for practicing witchcraft. Giles Corey is believed to have cursed the entire village after he was tortured to death for his crimes. Through an on-location live video stream, fans can actually monitor all of the Haunted Salem live activity on Travel Channel's Facebook live feed, also on Travel Channel, and you can comment findings in real time. You can help direct the team where to investigate next. Additionally, Travel Channel will be live tweeting from the event and engaging fans via Twitter during the four-hour special Haunted Salem Live, October 4th. Mark it on your calendars. Make sure that you're a part of it. I get to be one of the historians.
There you go.
Yeah, so I'm excited about that little jaunt into that. So it's a nice, you know, back-to-back. I'll be on with Holzer Files premiere episode on Thursday the 3rd, then Haunted Salem Live on Friday the 4th. So it'll be a good time had by all. Now, listen, we want to hear from you guys beyond the voicemail, or beyond the what the hell is it called, Tim? My brain is gone. The Beyond Something voicemail. Voices from Beyond voicemail.
Yeah, yeah.
That's it, Tim. Let me remind you, Tim, in case you forgot. It's the Voices from Beyond voicemail.
Right.
Is open 651-300-4977. Last week I threw out the challenge for these people, Tim. You see them all, the ones I'm pointing at? For these people to give us a call and be a part of the show.
These people, you say?
These people, Tim, so they could call in and tell us their real paranormal stories. And just a couple were brave enough this week, Tim. So I'm hoping that by sharing a couple of brave caller stories, others will step forward and share their tales of strange supernatural phenomena, just like this caller.
Hi, Dave and Tim. This is Kevin from the San Francisco Bay Area. First off, Dave, thoughts and prayers to you and Winnie. Just heard on the podcast, so please hang in there and, know that we're sending good wishes your way. Myself and my two kids, Christopher and Olivia, are big fans of the show, and they encouraged me to call in with my paranormal experience. So when I was in high school, I went to an all-boys high school, and during the summer, we would work up at a summer camp in Lake County, California, up in a town called Middletown, north of Calistoga and the Napa Valley and all that up in the mountains. And one summer in particular, we started having some paranormal ghostly experiences. It started off with one of the camp counselors before the campers got there. Said he saw a what looked to be a old lady in a wheelchair rolling quietly down the middle of one of the cabins one night. He was there sleeping, said he woke up around 3 o'clock in the morning and saw this ghostly woman in a wheelchair exit out the back of the cabin, disappear through the back door. So then the first week campers are there, and we went to breakfast one morning, and the camp counselors, we got to be away from the kids. The junior counselors would eat breakfast with them and stuff. So we were in the back dining room, and two of the counselors had this really kind of scared, concerned look on their face, and they went to go talk to the headmaster of the camp, and he seemed to have a puzzled and concerned look on his face as well. And over breakfast, one of them chimed up, hey, don't know what's going on around here, but we were in our cabin last night, and our bed started to shake. And these were bunk beds in the cabin. There were maybe 12 to 15 campers in the cabin, and the two counselors and a junior counselor. And they said they woke up, and one of them said, this is what I drew. And it was kind of a scribble kind of drawing of a bunk bed and what appeared to be like a ghostly faceless figure. So now 2 weeks and we've had two, unexplainable sightings of ghostly figures in the camp. Another week goes by. Nothing really else happens. You know, at nighttime, it's dark. It's out in the middle of nowhere. It's kind of creepy. But nothing's happening with the kids there, thankfully. Well, one night, the assistant head of the camp, he used to, like, after lights out around 10, 10:30, kind of do a walk around the perimeter of the whole camp, you know, to make sure nobody was around or out of their cabins or anything like that. Well, there was this old washed-out bridge that used to be the, you know, original entrance to the camp, and now it was just a collapsed bridge, but there was like a walkway that you could go across. It was, you know, kind of a crude footbridge, I guess you would describe it as. And he says as he was doing his rounds, he went out there and he saw what appeared to be the ghost of, and if you've ever, or you might be able to look this up online, but it looked to be an old friar with a big long brimmed hat, kind of like the Father Junipero Serra, I guess, would be the best person I could give an example, because he was the most famous friar in, you know, colonial California and all that. And he said this figure was there. Again, couldn't see a face, but it had this long, wide-brimmed hat, and it looked to be like have robes on. And it was motioning him to come towards the bridge. Of course, he didn't. He turned around and got out of there, and then told us about his experience the next morning over breakfast. They, again, asked us not to tell the campers or anything like that. You know, it was okay if we told other ghost stories, but not of any of this other stuff going on. So another week goes by, and I went home for the week to do my laundry and just get away and then come back refreshed for the final 2 weeks of the camp season. And when I got back, I was told that one of the camp cooks, she was in her trailer next to the kitchen trying to go to sleep. And she said all of a sudden she heard like what sounded like rocks being thrown against the side of her trailer. So at first she thought, oh, it must have been some of the older campers, you know, playing a prank on her. So she went and she kind of looked out the window, really didn't see anything. And, you know, the rock throwing stopped. So she went back to lay down in bed. And then she said all of a sudden she felt the trailer rocking back and forth, and had no explanation on what that could be. So, you know, she felt like it might have been something paranormal or supernatural, you know, shaking her trailer. So the old lady in the wheelchair wasn't seen again down by the camp lake. One of the counselors saw what appeared to be an old lady in the wheelchair sitting on the edge of the lake late one night, and kind of got really freaked out and ran back to his cabin. So we get to the final night of camp season. Last week, next day, we're going home. You know, we're excited about that. We always would have movie night for the kids. So two movies, cartoon, and the counselors and junior counselors would split themselves up into shifts. So I was on the first shift. Watched the movie with the kids. Everything was great. And the second shift had already started. They were watching a cartoon or before the, you know, the feature presentation. And we're sitting out on one of the porches of the cabin. And all of a sudden we hear the screech of brakes and a loud bang. Mind you, this camp was right next to Highway 175 in California, south of Cobb Mountain. So cars would be traveling, you know, to and from Clear Lake and all over, you know, Lake County, you know, past our camp. So we jump into the van since we're off shift, and we drive out to the road to see, you know, what's happening and if we can help. And when we get out there, we see, you know, some other cars have stopped, and there's a woman on the side of the road kind of just talking with people. And as we come up, we tell her, or we ask her, we say, what's happened? What happened? And she's like, I was coming down from Clear Lake, you know, came around this corner here, came out to the roadway, and jumped out of the van and see a woman on the side of the road there. Her car's up against the side of the mountain there, and looks like the front end's kind of wrecked. And we asked her, hey, what happened? What happened? Are you okay? And she's like, I was coming down the hill here and came around the turn, and in the middle of the road was this old lady in a wheelchair. And I swerved, but I think I might have hit her and, you know, knocked her into the creek down below and stuff. I don't know what she was doing out there. So we all kind of like look at each other and not say anything. And some of the more braver counselors grabbed their flashlights and went down into the creek to look. Nobody found anything. No wheelchair, no victim, anything like that. Needless to say, I was very happy to get on the bus to get back home after that summer. So, anyway, thanks a lot. Keep up the good work, you guys. We definitely love the show, and thanks for letting me share my story.
See, people, it's just that easy. Our voice is from Beyond Voicemail, 651-300-4977. If you give that number a call, tell your story. I've had a few people email in. They're like, how long can the story be? You know, as long as you want to tell us your story. Now, the recording only goes up to 3 minutes. So once you're disconnected, call back in and then kind of back up about 12 seconds and start where you were cut off and then continue on. Tim will take all of the independent audio pieces, but do it back to back. Don't like tell part of the first 3 minutes today and then call back 3 days from now and tell the next 3 minutes, and then, because that'll be a nightmare for poor Tim. And God knows we don't want to create nightmares for Tim. He's sensitive. He's very sensitive.
Oh, I'm not that sensitive. I'll just make a disjointed story out of your story and you'll sound stupid.
Yeah, there's that. 651-300-4977. So call in, share your story, and Tim will do a good job putting it together so you sound awesome, eloquent, and well-spoken. So again, call in, leave your story like that caller did. Let's get to some supernatural news. Mr. Dennis, where shall we begin today's journey?
Oh, Dave, it started with the storming of the gates, and then it became an alien-themed music festival, and now it's just become one big illegal gathering in the desert. That's what it's become.
Illegal aliens gathering in the desert, Tim? Is that what you're saying?
I didn't say illegal aliens gathering in the desert. I said illegal.
I don't think that's the right term anymore.
Well, you termed it that. I said.
I was repeating the things that you were implying.
No,
Tim.
You heard it wrong and then turned it around. I said an illegal gathering in the desert, Dave. That's what I said it was.
Which basically is saying illegal aliens gathering in the desert.
No,
but whatever. You can Yoda speak all you want. I can put these pieces together.
You put it that way. Nye County commissioners denied a permit for the alien theme music festival, which Dave wants you to think is a raid by ICE, which it is not.
Vanilla or Cube?
God, no. Nye County commissioners denied a permit to organizers intent on creating an alien theme music festival that grew from the Storm Area 51 event. It's all disintegrating like sands through the hourglass. The music festival called Peacestock, not to be confused with the 50th anniversary of Woodstock, which is just as solid as this festival.
Oh, that fall apart too, yeah.
Yeah. Organizers said they wanted to change the narrative from the Storm Area 51 event to something more peaceful. More than 3 million people signed on to attend Storm Area 51, of which all of 30 people will actually show up. It was still unknown how many will actually show up to the deal. Several Nye County residents voiced their disapproval of the music festival at the Nye County Commissioners meeting on Tuesday afternoon. Many are concerned with the traffic, sanitation, security, and public safety. They say there is going to be no drugs and no alcohol.
I'm out. But there are exotic dancers that are going to join.
There's strippers. Yeah.
Exotic dancers, Tim. We like to call them exotic dancers. That sounds a little higher class.
Dave, they're showing up in a van.
An exotic van, Tim.
Yeah, we'll see when it gets there.
Not to be confused with an erotic van.
How erotic can a van be?
Let me show you. I've got orange shag carpeting inside of mine, Tim.
Mm-hmm. Even if it's got free candy and puppies on the side of it, it ain't that erotic, my friend.
I don't know about that.
Just saying. They say there's going to be no drugs and no alcohol. Who are you trying to kid? Said one person.
Drugs or alcohol.
Yeah, it's not a party without any of that.
Drugs and alcohol. That's a bad message to the kids, Tim.
Well, let's face it, Dave. I mean, if you're just sitting around drinking soda and eating Doritos, it's going to break up by 10.
All right. Let's begin intervention for Tim Monday after Michigan Paracon, after a week of debauchery. Yeah. All right. Mm-hmm. Got it. Settled.
County commissioners say their priority is public safety, and festival organizers did not do enough to address their concerns. Hearing the facts, hearing that he had no actual experience in these events and not having the event coordinator there, I have a duty to the public health and safety. I think that the utmost importance, and sometimes you have to make tough decisions. That was the quote from Commissioner Leo Blundo. He sounds like a circus acrobat. Ladies and gentlemen, up on the highway right now, Leo Blundo. I'm sure he's got a tiger act in Vegas. It's not too far away. County commissioners say organizers are too inexperienced with music festivals for them to confidently approve the permit. When has that stopped anybody in Nevada from opening anything?
Yeah.
Yeah. Festival organizers said they were prepared to address concerns about public safety and logistics, but a motion to deny the permit was declared before organizers could make their case. All their concerns would be addressed, or would have been addressed. At the end of the day, we didn't make a compelling argument, and I guess they don't feel it's a state of emergency for them, said PSTOC organizer David Vanderbeek, evidently related to James.
Dawson's Creek, James Vanderbeek?
I guess so. I don't know.
Do we know this to be true?
No, we don't.
Oh.
Vanderbeek said he will pursue two additional locations that could be more appropriate for a music festival, other than the middle of the desert. He said he is scheduled to meet with the Amargosa Valley Town Board. Oh, that sounds peaceful. For a discussion on a new location on August 27th, Vanderbeek would still need Nye County Commissioners to approve the new location.
Can I make a suggestion?
Sure, go ahead.
I'm going to make a suggestion between you and I. Do you know what state loves music festivals and drinking and illicit drugs and prostitutes and hookers and strippers, Tim?
California?
Wisconsin, Tim.
You
know this to be true.
Oh, but...
And did you know, Tim, that in the town of Bancroft, Wisconsin, Tim?
Yeah.
There is an Area 51 restaurant. What if we, you and I... arrange a small music festival in the parking lot of the Area 51 restaurant, and we work with them on having our area, Storm Area 51 in Bancroft, Wisconsin, where beer's aplenty, Tim, cheese in abundance, flowing rivers of cheese. I don't know if you've ever been to Wisconsin, Tim, but it's true. Yeah. It's like Charlie and the Chocolate Factory, only fatter and more cheese.
People are scary, though.
Yeah, so maybe we should look at our own Area 51, Storm Area 51. What do you think?
I like it, and here's the tagline. Try to get out alive. There's a lot of serial killers in Wisconsin, so you can throw that on there. Try to get out alive.
We eat people here. Do you think that's the sign outside of Area 51?
I think so, yeah. Yeah, it's come here to eat people. So, yeah, you put that on the end of it. And not only that, Dave, but polka bands aplenty. I think we throw that in there. Polka bands
aplenty.
Alien
polka.
Alien polka.
Yeah.
Yeah. Polka.
They have that one big hit, Uranus or Mine.
I think we could get a polka band together and rename them Polka and Prada for the, you know, like the handbag Prada, but Polka and Prada, like aliens.
What has to do with aliens? So.
Well, prodding, you know, poking and prodding, you know, like.
How about polka alien?
No, Dave, you're not getting the joke. Polka and Prada, like you're probing polka and Prada. Get it?
Prodding. Okay. All right. We'll finesse it a little bit. I think we could work it.
Dave, that's the joke. You're not getting the joke.
I'm going to put a call in to the Eat at Area 51 restaurant and see if we can arrange something like that, Tim.
I think we should. I think, and we have to screen the locals that come there, though. I think
that's the part of the flair.
Dave, they're gonna show up with sausage platters, and you don't know if they're human or animal. I'm just saying. Look at
that's
history.
That's slanderous and liable.
No, Tim. Dave, it's history. It's history.
It's only 4 hours and 12 minutes from my front door, right to Bancroft, Wisconsin, Tim. Not far from Appleton, Wisconsin, it seems.
How far is it from Gein or Dahmer's house?
I don't know. But I'm going to look into this.
Okay.
Maybe we'll do a Storm Area 51. We'll do our own event. We'll beat that other guy who started it and do our own Storm Area 51 event. We'll take over the Motel 6 there in town,
yeah,
Tim.
Yeah.
The Storm. And Barry's Fondue and Motel over on Highway 7.
Yeah. Yeah. I like that. Yeah. And then we'll have the polka bands and the, bring your own old style.
Ooh, yeah. Nice.
Yeah, we'll even tie it to Wisconsin beer.
All right, I'll make that call. Where are we going next in the supernatural news realm?
You had me in promoter mode there. I liked it. Yeah, I was going, man. I was just.
Hey guys, my wife has been telling me to talk to someone in the paranormal field about something we've been dealing with for years. So why the hell not? Might as well share a story that's affected my wife, my two children, and myself for the duration of my wife's relationship with me. My wife is from Northern Iowa, and this is where it all begins. She has always told me a story about her seeing a little boy in the reflection of her father's living room window about 10 or so years ago while just browsing on the computer. She said it scared her to death to see the reflection of a young boy through the window, which she claims was behind her in the room. But when she turned around, nothing was there. Weird, right? This is just the beginning, though. She saw the boy multiple other times in similar situations, even with a shadow figure peeking on the edge of the doorways at night, which she still sees regularly. I've seen it as well, which validates her not BSing anyone even more. My wife has told me this, has told this story to multiple family members, only for two separate family members to suddenly have a look of disbelief on their face when hearing the story about the boy. After asking why they look that way, they told us that they have seen the same little boy as my wife, and it's usually eerily similar to how the first person witnessed him. I'm from northern Minnesota by walker, and my wife moved up north with me in 2010. We have had to move quite a few different homes due to unfortunate circumstances, and something has followed us everywhere we've went, literally everywhere. My daughter was 3 at the time at the second house we lived in and claimed she saw a boy in her bedroom quite often, even claiming that she would play with him almost regularly. As a 3-year-old, she would claim that he had a hood over his head, which blew my mind knowing she saw this figure with that much detail. We asked my son, who was 7 at the time, about what my daughter has been seeing regularly. Immediately, he claimed he sees the boy too, stating that this boy with the hood would be in his bedroom often, but he didn't seem threatened by it. We have had to move a few times since then, and now it seems to attach to me and my 5-year-old daughter more than anybody. My wife has caught scratches on me, 3 scratch marks, always to be exact, always on my lower stomach or waist area, and they aren't regular scratch marks. They're harsh enough to last on my skin for a good day or two before finally starting to diminish. My daughter gets the same scratches, but it's even appeared on her neck and face. It's not as often on her, but it's happened enough to be concerned of some sort of attachment to our family. Also, we always have heard movement throughout our homes, especially when the kids are asleep. And again, this in 3 homes, not just one. Items have randomly been misplaced. Often footsteps are heard, cries or talking can regularly be heard on the opposite side of the house. It oddly never seems to be with us in a room, but it's always near. And we hear it numerous times throughout a week. Recently, I heard a voice outside my bedroom door around midnight that sounded exactly like my daughter calling for me. I got up to get the door for her, but there was no one there. I went to her room to find her sound asleep. Where the hell did that voice come from if my daughter was obviously sleeping? This is the stuff we deal with often. It's all a big mystery. I could continue to add more stories, but here's a brief story of what my family has been dealing with for numerous years, and I have no idea who to contact or go seek for help in the North Woods of Minnesota. I'd be fine if it didn't seem to follow us to each residence, but when the same occurrences happen everywhere we lived, it kind of raises a flag. Thanks for the time to read this, and any help is greatly appreciated. That's Brady Goble that wrote to us. Brady, your story has been shared. We've shared it now. I make no promises, but I will try to put you in touch with a few organizations and people that might be able to shed some light on that for you. That's kind of the guy I am, Tim.
Right now.
I'm always help.
Yeah.
By giving it to somebody else to deal with.
Yeah. I mean,
who's got time for a scratching little boy ghost?
Yeah, it's mighty well.
Maybe you. Your back's always itchy with all that fur you have.
It really is. Yeah, I could use a little boy ghost to scratch my fur.
That okay.
Didn't sound right, I know. It totally came out wrong.
No, it sounded great. Is your are you up now? Are you up and ready?
I am up and ready. Okay. That didn't sound right either, I know.
No. All right. What have we got?
By the way, before I start the story, I want to send out much love to the Beyond the Darkness Nation to just say I received a lot of love and support this week on the whole Joe Rogan thing. I have a lot of people in my corner. You have no idea.
I have a lot of people that hate you because you picked on Joe Rogan.
Really?
So, I don't share those all the time because it happens. We're allowed our opinions, folks. Tim can be wrong. It's all right.
I think you have no idea how many positive emails I got. I was surprised. I figured I would have gotten shelled this week.
I actually have a couple emails of people telling me that they may never listen again because of your context and thinking you should apologize.
Really?
Here's the deal. If Joe Rogan was listening, maybe I'd say, Tim, maybe you should apologize, but you're not even on Joe Rogan's radar.
No, I'm not on his radar at all. You know, I want those people to email me. Don't email Dave. Email me. Let him have it.
Let him know so that he can go to war with you. Because I read it and I just placidly sit by and go, Tim's allowed an opinion.
Yeah.
It may not be the right opinion, but he's allowed an opinion.
Yeah, let me have it. It's my opinion. It's not Dave's. Yeah. Tim@darknessradio.com. Email me. Yep. I don't let Dave have it. Let me have it. Or
give him a call at 612.
No. Don't call me. I don't want to hear from those people. But they love weak interviewers. I don't want to sit and talk to them. They just sit and whine at me. I don't want to hear whining.
All right. What's our next story?
Strange World debut reexamines a Camp Hero Mysteries, or actually a Camp Hero Mysteries period in Montauk. Christopher Garantano, I believe that's how it's pronounced, says new Travel Channel show is his last investigation into the topic. Montauk's defunct Camp Hero military base and the decades of sinister legends and lore surrounding it, like an impenetrable fog, returns to the national spotlight this week when Travel Channel's new series Strange World premieres this Sunday, August 11th at 10 p.m. Helmed by independent filmmaker and investigator Christopher Garantano, creator of Montauk Chronicles and History Channel's The Dark Files, the show aims to bring paranormal television back to its roots, doing away with reality TV tropes and adding a fresh approach to a range of mystery topics over 8 episodes. For the Strange World debut, Garantano visits tales of government mind control experiments, child abductions, and clandestine efforts to turn thousands of these Montauk boys into super soldiers deep beneath Camp Hero in Montauk. It represents Garantano's final word on Montauk after years delving deep into the subject and the many characters and witnesses he's encountered along the way. I'm writing a fictional thing, and I'm working on developing that into a series, but I don't think I'll be investigating Montauk again, the filmmaker explains. The first episode of Strange World is my last investigation into the topic, segueing into the rest of the show, Garantano continues, noting that future episodes explores the... Is it Polybius arcade game? I've never played it. Said to be a government psychology experiment used on kids in Seattle, Washington in the 1980s. The deaths and tragedies connected to James Dean's supposedly cursed 1955 poor spider, little bastard, unexplained disappearances into our national parks, particularly on Mount Shasta, and 4 more mysteries. The DNA of the show is variety, he says. Each of these episodes has depth. My idea, before I even pitched it, was to break the current format of paranormal TV to obliterate it, he says. not to end people's shows, but to maybe inspire them to do something new with a format that is tired and repetitive and happens over and over and over again among 17 different shows. Every episode, it always seems to be the same thing, Garitano adds. What I want to bring back is what I grew up with. I had a series of books that I grew up with about the mysteries of the unknown, and I watched shows like Unsolved Mysteries and In Search Of, reruns of those things, and I loved them. They were spooky and they were mysterious and had a style that was all their own, and I wanted to do something very new with that and bring that atmosphere back and get something exciting for the audience. That was the whole idea of variety. Every episode is a different adventure and a different topic, all within Strange World, and there's really nothing like it. Garitano says his Montauk Chronicles documentary and History Channel special The Dark Files, also featuring former CIA operative Barry Eisler and journalist Steve Volk, served as a sort of proof of concept for his 8-episode Strange World project. It would have been cool to go on and do another investigation with Eisler and Volk. I know it rated well, but sometimes fate has a way of turning in a particular direction, and I can't be more grateful than I am about what we just made, he says, adding, I worked really hard to make this new series. The fact that Travel Channel bought into 8 episodes of Strange World speaks highly of Garitano's concept and ability to deliver intelligent yet entertaining TV. They don't pass out television shows like they're giving out candy, he says. I might giggle at that line, though. Acknowledging that he had excellent support from the network, of course they believed in it. I think they're very happy that they did, because what they have is a unique show. It stands out from everything else that's on, not only on that network, but on other networks, Garitano continues. It's the only paranormal show like it. The only thing you could try to compare it to is the remake of In Search Of. However, I think we have a lot more character and a lot more style. It's very different. It's not a reality show where you just see me walking around in 30 frames per second video and I'm just yammering on and on about ghosts. It's not like that at all. Ooh, he's taking some shots today, isn't he?
Seems like it, yeah.
Yeah. Filmed in Montauk during the coldest weeks in January and February, the Strange World premiere touches on areas covered by Garitano's previous projects, but it also manages to explore new territory. There were some people, he said, I never spoke to before who I felt were important to speak to. For instance, Dick White. He's a longtime resident of Montauk who knows everybody, he says. What I appreciate about him is that he kept an open mind. His whole life, when he heard these legends and these ideas, he felt like they weren't even believable. But when he discussed things like Holmesburg Prison, where the government experimented on inmates, and real documented CIA mind control program MKUltra, and he realized those things actually did happen, instead of shutting me down, he's like, maybe I should reevaluate the way I'm thinking about this. And that's the way we need to think. In the end, that discovery is so important. Garitano also met with Brian Minnick, a linchpin in his investigation on the Dark Files, who brought new evidence gathered from his vast library of photos and video taken inside many buildings on the Camp Hero grounds. Minnick has these great photos of the alleged acid houses, which I think are close to proof, Garitano says, recounting images showing psychedelic wall murals that have been previously applied. You have to consider them at the very least. Why are these things on a military base? They weren't designed by kids, and they're in line with some of the past LSD experiments. You have these rumors surrounding it and connecting all the dots for a second, instead of just denying that this happened, especially with all of these other programs that happened. Finally, Strange World introduces a new witness who claims he was experimented on beneath Camp Hero. These are all important elements. They keep popping up, and I think what it requires is someone to keep looking, Garitano says, noting that his work at this point is done. I've looked for so long in security at Montauk without giving up too much about the episode. They put up such a resistance now, he adds, pointing out that he was fully blocked from filming an episode of Ancient Aliens on site before working on Strange World. These and other efforts to stymie his work, along with his discovery in Montauk Chronicles, The Dark Files, and especially Strange World lead Garitano, that's a weird sentence, to feel quite certain something is hiding beneath Camp Hero, and it's probably nothing good. You can watch Garitano's Strange World premiere on Travel Channel coming up Sunday, August 11th. It's already premiered at 10 p.m. To see what brought him to the conclusion.
Speaking of big premieres, Ghost Hunters is back on A&E, and we've got two of the new team that will be part of our show tomorrow. Ghost Hunters returns tomorrow right here on the best in paranormal talk radio, Beyond the Darkness. And if you love TV, like Tim and I love TV, then you need to treat yourself to a secret. Tim, I'm ready to share the secret for the first time today with our listeners.
Okay.
I'm talking about Pluto TV.
Oh, no, don't do that. Don't do that.
No, I'm going to talk about it,
no,
Tim.
Don't do it.
Pluto TV is the leading free streaming television service. You can watch 100 TV channels, thousands of movies on demand, all for free. But don't do it, folks. Don't go there. You shouldn't. Why should you enjoy free TV and free movies? And especially when you don't need a credit card and you don't have to sign up. No. Avoid it like the plague. There's no reason for you to go there. I'm trying reverse psychology, Tim. Because when you tell people don't do things, they immediately do it.
Don't give me money.
Pluto TV is easy and completely legal way to watch your favorite TV shows and hit movies. So what are you waiting for? Tim to come load it for you and push the play button?
That
ain't going to happen.
No, okay.
It ain't going to happen. You won't even let me give out your phone number and address.
Well, of course.
You're
going
to really start showing up to people's doors and starting up their Pluto TV for them?
Yeah, I'd do that.
Never pay for TV again, people. Get off the bandwagon. Moving pictures, they're not going to be around long, Tim. Oh, intranet, it's the new wave. So download Pluto TV for free on all of your favorite devices today. On your phone, Roku, Amazon Fire TV, Apple TV, smart TVs, PlayStation, hell, anywhere else that you can stream. Stop playing the corporate game. Get Pluto TV right now. Every car comes with its share of stories. That ding in your bumper when you nervously ran over a Sasquatch in the middle of the road.
What?
The luxury package that you got after a big promotion for sharing photographs of that Sasquatch lying lifeless by the side of the road.
Huh?
What about the mileage that you saved by riding your bike all summer because, well, you hit a Sasquatch with your car? Well, you can't put a price tag on stories, Tim. You can with True Car. You can find out at least what your car's worth when it comes time to sell it or trade it in. Just go to True Car. Simply enter your license plate number and watch how your car's details pop up. Then answer a few questions. Navigation and move room? Moonroof? Tim? Move roof?
Move
you
roof.
Know.
Yeah.
Navigation and move roof? You know you're going to jump up the value right there. How about that you have DNA and actual hair strands from a Sasquatch still lodged in your front bumper? Oh, there's going to bump up the value. High mileage? Well, you knew that was going to cost you, but now you know how much it dings your wallet so you can plan ahead. Once you're finished, you'll get a true cash offer sent in just minutes, which you can take to a local certified dealer to cash out or trade in. So when you're ready to experience a better way to sell or trade in your car, do us a favor. Check out True Car today. True cash offer may not be available in all areas. All right, where are we off to next in the world of supernatural news, Tim?
Well, if you're a brave ghost hunter and you want to stay overnight in one of London's most haunted houses, you are urgently wanted in London.
I'm wanted?
Well, yeah.
All right. Put me on a plane, coach.
Are you brave and a ghost hunter?
I like to think so.
All right, well, then you're wanted.
Woohoo!
Yeah.
What do you got to do? You got to go to London, England, because someplace wants brave ghost hunters to spend the night?
Yep.
Okay.
That's the deal.
Tell me more.
Scattered around London are loads of old buildings where ghosts are said to lurk in the corridors. And we've heard all those scary stories of people spotting spirits in theaters, houses, and in disused train stations. There's a lot of them there in London. But would you be brave enough to spend an entire night searching for paranormal activity in what people say is one of the capital's most haunted houses? Well, there's an eerie manor, and it's enough to send shivers down your spine, according to this article. Carlton House in Greenwich is opening its doors to brave ghost hunters who are prepared to be scared out of their wits and discover what lies in the depths of its historic rooms. The huge building in South London was constructed between 1607 and 1612. That's a long, 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 long time ago, Dave.
A long, long time ago.
If I know my math,
that's the only part of the song I remember.
That's all you need to know. It's the rest of this song is pretty irritating. 500 years, Dave. 500 years. I had to kick off my shoes to count, but I got it done.
Nice.
Yeah, and I have one boot that takes a long time to get off, but I got it done. Between 1607 and 1612, that's when this building was built. It was used as a hospital for officers during the First World War. The borough of Greenwich bought the property in 1925 before the North Chapel in the grounds was bombed during the Second World War. The spooky stay is organized by Haunted Happenings, who hold similar ghost hunts around the country, including at the Clink Prison in central London. Go ahead, Dave. I know you're dying to do the impression.
Hogan in my office.
There you go. What happens during this ghost hunt? Well, Carlton House has a creepy attic and a dark basement, don't we all, which is sure to send a shiver down your spine. The creepy overnight stay can include everything from experiments and vigils to Ouija boards and investigations. Yay! Anyone wishing to take part must be over the age of 18 and is not for the faint-hearted. This ghost hunt will take place on September 21st, 2019, and there are more throughout the year. Oh, by the way, you didn't think you were getting paid for this deal, did you? You're paying for it. It's 59 pounds each. Yeah.
So what?
Yeah, you got
it. So you want me to be brave and a ghost hunter and have money?
Yeah, yeah, you got to pay for it. It's 59 pounds each for the ghost hunt. Yeah, yeah. Who are the ghosts of Carlton House?
Oh, I don't know.
Carlton House, that's the question on the next part of this article. Many ghost sightings have been reported over the years at Carlton House. This includes reports of a ghostly gray lady seen walking the garden carrying a bundle which resembles a baby. Yikes. Many staff members at the huge house refused to enter the attic room alone due to the feeling of oppression, along with the frightening feelings felt in the atmosphere of the building's cellars. How do you get the news? Oh, sorry. That's an ad. According to the haunted happenings of the mummified body that was thrown in there somewhere for a tongue twister, was discovered in an old fireplace within the mansion According to haunted happenings, the mummified body of a baby was discovered in an old fireplace within the mansion during restoration work. There you go. That's the story. You can book your tickets by just looking up Carlton House. And
that's all.
Yeah, that's all. We won't give the information because, let's just face it, if they were going to pay you, that's one thing, but you got to pay them. So we'll just leave that out.
I see. How interesting.
Yeah.
All right. Where are we going next?
This one's interesting, Dave. I'm going to ask you, first of all, are you an alien?
Large eyes, big bulbous head, wiry arms, a predilection for anal probing.
Maybe.
I guess if you got to label me, that's not a bad label to have, Tim.
There's a time traveler out there knocked up, Dave.
What?
Yep.
Not my fault.
Okay.
You were there. You saw me. I was nowhere near.
All right. Just checking. Because there's a story out there that a time traveler claims she's pregnant with an alien baby. Just saying. Wondering where you were in 2520.
I was 2520?
I don't know. I'm just wondering.
Yeah, I got nothing.
Okay. If you're on the hunt for a dubious claim to believe, take a look through the political section of any online news publication. I don't know what that has to do with anything, but on the other hand, if you believe that in the future we'll be having sex with aliens, stick around. Oh, God, I want to stick around. Just saying. A woman has made the staggering claim to conspiracy theories website Apex TV that she's pregnant with alien offspring, Dave. That is some freaky shit, boy, let me tell you. She explains that she accepted a job as a time traveler while she was a student in Paris. Who's got that kind of rap, by the way? You're standing on a street corner and all of a sudden someone comes up and goes, hello, lady.
how would you feel about becoming a time traveler with me? No?
I'm wondering if you, how do you say, want to do it with an alien? During an interview with the site's YouTube channel, the anonymous woman explains that she took multiple trips to a future where human and aliens were locked in combat. It's not all they were locked in, Dave, you know?
Be our guest. Put our love tour to the test.
You have to separate them with a fire hose, evidently.
I guess, yeah.
Despite this, she evidently fell pregnant with an alien child and has now decided to tell us all about it. Oh, yeah, girl.
I've fallen down. I've fallen upstairs. Mm-hmm. I've never fallen pregnant. How does that happen?
Well, basically, you trip, stumble, and fall right into the old canal. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, really? So yeah. When a man alien loves a female alien.
Yeah.
Oh, I gotcha.
You see what I'm saying? Yeah.
I'm picking up what you're putting down, but yeah. I'm putting it back down because it's covered in sticky stuff.
Well, it can be. Yeah. Yeah. She's even got an ultrasound scan as well. Although we're not sure what the midwife will say when she turns up for her appointments there, the old, yeah. Suffice to say, the commentators on the YouTube video aren't convinced, and they shouldn't be, really. This is obviously fake, said one contributor to YouTube, because in a different time traveler video, a time traveler said they weren't able to have babies with aliens, only feel love, so I don't believe this at all, opined Eric Columbwe. We agree with Eric. This is most likely a fake attempt to grab some publicity off the back of the Area 51 event, said the article, or to stop you from reading about politics for a couple of minutes. That's what metro.co.uk went on to say. I don't know. Time traveler pregnant with an alien baby. Dave, your thoughts?
Why not? I think if you can't love the one you want, travel to the future and love the one you're with. Do, 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 do,
do, do, do.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's my theory on it.
Right on.
We're going to take a quick break. We'll come back. We've got more supernatural news, more Parashare stories, and a phone call. That's next, right here on Beyond the Darkness. I love TV, Tim. Oh, I love TV. I grew up in that generation when, you know, babysitter, schmabysitter. I was just plucked down in front of the TV, allowed to watch Three Stooges, The Monkees, you know, all of the good fanfare on TV. And growing up, Tim, I've still loved TV, and especially good TV.
Mm-hmm.
I just had a chance to see a preview of Carnival Row. It's a one-hour fantasy drama. And it stars Orlando Bloom and Cara Delevingne. The series is set in Victorian fantasy world filled with mythological immigrant creatures whose exotic homelands have been invaded by the empires of man. They struggle to coexist with humans, forbidden to live, love, or fly with freedom. Orlando Bloom plays Ryecroft Philostrate, also known as Philo, a police inspector investigating a string of gruesome murders threatening the uneasy peace of the row. And Cara Delevingne plays Vignette Stonemoss, a fairy refugee who flees her war-torn homeland to come to the Burg, where she must contend not only with rampant human prejudice against her kind, but with the secrets that have followed her to this new land. But even in darkness, hope lives on as this human detective and fairy rekindle their dangerous affair despite an increasingly intolerant society. Come together on August 30th to watch Carnival Row only on Amazon Prime Video this Labor Day weekend. Don't miss it. Folks, there's been a lot of cool programming that's come out over the few years that have set up a great premise and then failed to deliver. I can tell you after watching the first episode of Carnival Row, they've got it right. This is exactly what our audience loves. Fantasy, true crime, fiction, it's all put together into one beautifully crafted, elegantly shot, and wonderfully acted series. Carnival Row, check it out August 30th on Amazon Prime Video this Labor Day weekend. Tim, I'm not one of those kind of guys that likes to jump on most trends, right?
Right.
I avoided social media stuff like the plague for quite a while. I, you know, just a lot of the stuff I didn't do. My brother set up my Facebook account for me. You're the one that got me on MySpace. Thanks for that. you know, I think it took a while to get over onto the Twitter, and my kids got me eventually onto Instagram. And I'll tell you what, Tim, something has come to my attention that I've really thoroughly enjoyed, and it's called Best Fiends. Are you familiar with Best Fiends?
Oh, yes. Yeah.
Well, if for our listeners, if you're looking for a fun way to pass the time while kind of stimulating your brain and enjoying breathtaking visuals and a really fun little story, your answer is Best Fiends. there is a character collection and these fun puzzles. And I've enjoyed it a lot because, first of all, it's just a lot of fun. It kind of combines elements of all of my favorite video games into one. And it does it in a really fun, evocative kind of way. There's a ton of different characters that you can collect and evolve. You can upgrade them. And as you continue to play, you're moving through this fantasy world trying to fix these puzzles. Think of so many different video games that you've liked, those elements that are perfect in their own little way, but they're all missing something. Well, Best Fiends has found a way to pull all of those best elements together in one casual game that anybody can play. But it is made for adults. With that said, my kids play it all the time, and now we sit around playing it together. They get a kick out of seeing how much further they can get past me and advance past me. The forerunner in our house, by the way, is my wife, Tim.
Mm-hmm.
Winnie has kicked my ass time and time again. Every time I think I've made it to a great level, I'm on like level 68.
Mm-hmm.
And she's like, oh, yeah, I hit that a couple days ago. I'm on 89 right now. But my kids and I are always neck and neck, and we're playing along and having a lot of fun. And I've been playing it for a while. I enjoy playing it. I play it a couple times a day. It's perfect when I just have a little bit of downtime and I'm looking for something to kind of engage me. And I have fun doing it, which is the important thing. There's bright colors. It's a really cool visual design. And it's got cool little characters that I like. Best Fiends, it's a great game. Check it out for yourself. This is a 5-star rated game because of the characters, the fun and challenging puzzles, and, you know, the antagonists in this are slugs, Tim. And we've all got slugs in our world that irritate us, agitate us, and, you know, typically annoy us.
Oh, yes.
Here's your chance to defeat the slugs. Slugmageddon is one of my favorite moments, Tim, when I combine the right amount of force and blow them away. It sounds silly. It's fun, and silly design is what's going to keep you coming back to it time and time again. It's a unique, exciting puzzle experience, unlike other puzzle games out there. Best Fiends updates the game monthly with new levels and events, so it never gets old. And Best Fiends treats the game like a service for their players. If you find yourself playing in random weird places, or you play at random times, talk about that with everybody else on Facebook. I'm on. You can actually link in. You can pass gifts to one another. And since I've joined, I have a lot of our listeners that will send me gifts. I've returned the favor and sent them gifts as well. You don't have to play this game alone. 100 million downloads globally. That's downloads. That's amazing. And it doesn't require internet to play. It's great for traveling. You can play anywhere, anytime, plane, subway, etc. This is a fun, breezy, engaging game. Try it out for yourself. Take it from somebody who does not jump on trends or takes a long time to get there. I'm glad I found it, and it is so much fun. Engage your brain with fun puzzles. Collect tons of cute and fun characters that are multi-powered. It's got a 5-star rated mobile game app on the Apple Play Store and in the Google Play Store as well. Download free on the Apple App Store or Google Play right now. That's Fiends. F-I-E-N-D-S, Best Fiends. Play it now. Have a great time. Join Tim and I in our adventure. And while you're out there, send us gifts. We need to get further in our game. You'll find us linked to our Facebook pages. That's the best way to have this game and share it with all of you. And it's a good way to compete. How about that, Tim? Let's compete with these listeners of ours.
I love it.
All right, check it out now. Best Fiends. You're going to be glad I told you about it.
Launchpad DM is a totally free platform and service for anyone who wants to podcast, offering unlimited hosting and access to a dashboard with all of your show's analytics. You own and control everything, including subscribers. And it's a great discovery tool to help people find your podcast. You may even get invited to join the official Podcast One roster with even more perks like access to producers, marketers, sales teams, and more. Sign up today at launchpaddm.com.
Beyond Darkness.
We're back. Let's get to it. What other supernatural news do we have from around the world?
Oh, Dave, that Elon Musk guy.
What's going on with Elon?
Okay, so
Elon.
So, Elyon, that's about it. Someone's going to send him off on a raft soon because he wants to nuke Mars still, Dave. I don't know if you heard about this before, but Elon Musk had this plan to bomb Mars, basically to make the red planet habitable by bombing the poles, okay? Let me explain a little bit about it.
Okay. Uh-huh.
He's still at it. It was basically a tweet last week. And it was just two words, nuke Mars. And he's got this little picture of himself pointing like, oh, you rascal. But yeah, essentially, SpaceX CEO Elon Musk not only wants to explore Mars, he wants to nuke it. In a tweet this week, Musk created...
Are you sure he just didn't say he wants to get bombed on Mars? I mean, there is
no,
a difference.
No. Very clearly, Dave, nuke Mars. Those were the two words he used. Not bomb Mars, not you know, let's get bombed on Mars. It was nuke. Nuke Mars, not heated up in the microwave, not anything like that. It was nuke rude. Mars. Yeah.
So rude.
Yes, it is.
All right, so
imagine,
go on.
Imagine all the Martians up Mars. There. Yeah, okay. the Martians living up there probably don't think it's nice.
Not good at all.
No. In a tweet this week, Musk reiterated calls to nuke Mars, adding that T-shirts are coming soon. That's right. You, too, can have a fashionable nuke Mars T-shirt coming soon. Jarring though the ideas may be, put it that way, the tweet is a rehash of an idea championed by Musk in the past that proposes using a nuclear weapon to transform the red planet for human habitation. By detonating nuclear bombs over both of the planet's poles, Musk has posited that the process would release enough carbon dioxide locked in frozen reserves beneath the planet's surface to warm the atmosphere and help bring it closer to that of Earth. Musk says, theoretically, a drastically altered atmosphere would allow humans to live and colonize Mars without the use of support systems or insular habitats. It's a decent theory. In a subsequent statement, the only problem with that is radiation. In a subsequent statement, after he posited the idea in 2015, Musk said that the idea would be to create two artificial suns by launching a nuclear bomb every couple of seconds. Those suns would melt CO2 reserves and warm the planet's atmosphere in Musk's estimation. Again, it's an estimate. Despite Musk doubling down on the idea of the efficacy of using nuclear bombs to unleash CO2, it has unsurprisingly drawn criticism from the scientific community. In a study published in Nature last year, scientists note that Mars likely lacks the requisite levels of CO2 to adequately warm the planet. These results suggest that there's not enough CO2 remaining on Mars to provide significant greenhouse warming were the gases to be emplaced into the atmosphere, they wrote. In addition, most of the CO2 gases in those reservoirs is not accessible and thus cannot be readily mobilized. Secondly, researchers say that Mars's atmosphere is far too thin to retain any of the CO2 that would release via the process. Musk has nonetheless continued to promote the idea, which is part of a larger mission by the billionaire and his company SpaceX, a Musk enterprise that has been decidedly less theoretical in its mission to pioneer a new generation of spacecraft. Recently, the company has boasted several firsts, including launching military cargo into space and successfully catching rocket parts that fall back to Earth with a big baseball mitt, I guess, Dave. I have no idea. SpaceX hopes that...
I think you've watched way too many Looney Tunes cartoons.
I may be.
That's possible.
I think an anvil might have fallen from space, too. That one was caught by a Wile E. Coyote, I believe, yeah. SpaceX hopes that its Big Falcon rocket, which... I was very careful to read that, by the way. Big Falcon rocket will eventually be able to travel to Mars, bringing the first ever human travelers along with it. Mars has become the next giant leap for mankind's exploration of space, but before humans get to the red planet, astronauts will take a series of small steps by returning to the moon for a year-long mission. Details of a mission in lunar orbit have been unveiled as part of a timeline of events leading to missions on Mars in the 2030s. Think about that, Dave. It seems like a long ways away, but 10 years goes really, really fast. In May of 2017, Greg Williams, Deputy Associate Administrator for Policy and Plans at NASA, outlined the space agency's four-stage plan that it hopes will one day allow humans to visit Mars, as well as its expected time frame. Phase 1 and 2 will involve multiple trips to lunar space to allow for construction of a habitat, which will provide a staging area for the journey. The last piece of delivered hardware would be the actual deep space transport vehicle that would later be used to carry a crew to Mars, and a year-long simulation of life on Mars would be conducted in 2027. Phase 3 and 4 will begin after 2030 and will involve sustained crew expeditions to the Martian system and the surface of Mars. So what do you think, Dave? In one respect, Elon Musk wants to nuke Mars and try a very much experimental deal where he's going to blow up the reserves of CO2 and see if he can't warm up the atmosphere to make it habitable. But in the second...
Didn't we cover this in Star Trek II, The Wrath of Khan with the Genesis bomb?
That was a little bit different in that the actual bomb could create the atmosphere. But then in the second, he could be actually be detrimental to the NASA project, because you need that frozen CO2 there. Because think of what you can do with the frozen CO2 that's there if you're NASA actually going to the planet to do experiments and actually use those reserves. Because when you get to Mars, it's not an easy trip back. You know, I mean, you have a station that's got to be there, but you may need to depend on the CO2 that's there in order to power the station and to do things with that station. What do you do for water when you're there? You may need that CO2 to help, you know, to convert, to help make water.
You and all your sense, Tim, knock it off.
So, you know, Elon's over there going, let's bomb it. Let's make an atmosphere. And I bet NASA's probably shaking their heads going, no, we need that. You know, we need that CO2 to do other things. We have plans for it. So.
Well, there's that.
Yeah.
Hey, our phone lines are open. Voices from the. Why am I having trouble saying that today, Tim?
The Voices from Beyond line?
Yeah, the Voices from Beyond voice line is open. 651-300-4977. That's 651-300-4977. Call in and share your paranormal encounter, just like this caller.
Love the show. Just wanted to pass a quick, simple experience. When my grandmother passed away at 101 and a half, always a strong woman, it was a fall morning ceremony for the burial. Calm, quiet. Did the service, at the end of the service, just before, you know, they would lower the casket, gust of wind came through, and it hadn't been any wind any time to us. It was her way of saying goodbye. That's it. Told you. Quick, simple. So there's got to be something out there. Thanks for everything you guys do. This is Matt saying goodbye.
Hey, Dave and Tim. Tim and Dave. My name is Tyler Brown. I'm from Quincy, Illinois. I've called a while back regarding a situation I had with my house. I heard your last parashare Saturday where you said everybody's chicken, so I figured after you, I'm the one that Instagrammed you about what kind of S-box to get. I told you I'd be calling, and I never did, and I feel salty for that. So here's my call back. My situation that I needed that S-box for, I said I would talk to you about, was a situation that I had at home. I sent it to you in an email about a year ago titled Medium and My Unborn Child. Ever since then, I now have a situation in my household where I have all these LED puck lights in my house that go on and off on their own, usually early in the morning, and sometimes on command, which is odd sounding, but one day, you know, I was walking up to it, uttering it under my breath. I said, you know, making me feel a little crazy, you know, and like, what's the way you could prove me, you know, to prove that I'm not crazy, turn the light on right in front of me as I'm making a bottle for my son, and sure as shit, light turned on right in front of me, and then it gave me chills. I'm like, all right, thank you, goodbye. Other than that, those lights, you know, turn on all the time. I've had, I used one of the S-boxes that I got, and they've called out my baby's name a few times. I've talked to a few mediums that told me that my baby has a high-vibrating soul and attracts friendly spirits in our house that will always be there to get his attention, and it will, you know, be one of those things that it won't stop. I mean, it'll only get better. So basically, he will be a child that is a born medium. I don't really know a whole lot of it. They're trying to do a lot of research to figure this out. Other than that, I don't know much. I wish you guys the best of luck. Dave, I hope all is well, and I hope you stay positive and get through your situation, and much love. Thank you guys for a wonderful show.
Simple enough, fun, and easy. Our voice is from beyond voicemail, 651-300-4977. You may be featured on an upcoming episode. Get off your ass, call us, tell us your story right now. All right, Tim, speaking of stories, let's get back into some news. We've got a lot to cover and a short time to get there. Come on, man, I'll watch old Bandit run. Where are we going next?
Going to Canada, Dave. An interesting story about a woman who went skydiving and managed to cheat death. You know, you would ask yourself the question, why go skydiving in the first place if maybe you don't have the best luck? But a skydiver recently managed to cheat death after her parachutes failed to open during a skydive in Canada. What might sound like the stuff of nightmares became chilling reality on Saturday after the 30-year-old, whose name has not been disclosed, experienced difficulties during her descent. The woman had been participating in a jump in Quebec's Parachute-Maze adrenaline skydiving facility near Montreal Mirabel International Airport at around 6 p.m. When she leapt from the plane, both her main and reserve chutes failed to open. A bystander, Oceane Duplessis, I believe is the name, said, "We watched all the way to the end. We kept hoping something would happen. We were worried, very worried, and very scared." After plummeting 5,000 feet, the woman hit a patch of trees in a wooded area. Oh, my God. Miraculously, despite the speed at which she had been falling, her injuries were not life-threatening. She's now recovering in a hospital and doing very well. Think about that. Both chutes failed to open, yet still lived.
God is on your side in those situations.
Yeah.
My grandfather was a paratrooper in World War II, and his parachute failed to open properly. His backup parachute barely made it. He ended up breaking his leg and had to send his squadron off to complete their mission while he crawled to the mission point. Yeah, dragging himself. And then, check this out, when he finally got medical attention, bribed the doctors. My grandfather was total Steve Rogers, Captain America guy. He went from like station to station to get into the Army to begin with, and even paid for a surgery to get himself into the Army, and then paid to keep himself viable. So out of the four big drops, my grandfather was in three of them. So pretty amazing. But yeah, that's all kinds of lucky when your chutes don't open and you're still alive to talk about it. That's a special brand of miracle. And I hope that she does something cool with her life.
I know my mother's dad crashed two airplanes and lived through both of them. Yeah, he and we're not talking the, you know, like the big, you know, passenger planes, but we're, you know, the crop duster planes. And he actually, he landed in a tree at one time.
Was he in a battle with Snoopy on a Sopwith camel or what?
Well, he used to fly the crop duster planes over, and he flew for a living for a long time as well. And worked in dynamite pits as well.
God, he was a rebel.
Yeah. He worked a lot of dangerous jobs, but yeah, he actually, he crashed two planes and lived through both crashes. But once ended up in a tree, and I said, "Well, Grandpa, how did you end up in a tree?" He said, "Well, got to land somewhere." I thought that was the most profound way to say that.
It is pretty profound and makes so much sense.
Yeah, you got to land somewhere. And I thought, God, that had to hurt. I just I can't imagine falling from the sky. That's got to, you know, you would think a heart attack would be the first thing that would happen as you were falling.
Yeah.
But some people.
No, probably pooping myself would be the first thing, if I'm going to be honest.
You would think that and then a heart attack. But some people, I just think, you know, you've got to leave your body at one point during that as well. You either deal with it or you die from fright. I don't know.
All right. Where are we off to next, sir?
This story involves, and actually the story was written by our friend Micah Hanks. The FBI has released its files on famous flying saucer contactee George Van Tassel. The FBI has released its files on another famous name in the annals of ufology, rather. George Van Tassel, alleged UFO contactee and builder of California's famous Integratron, hard word for me to say, Integratron. Van Tassel, like many in the 1950s UFO scene, was prior to his interest in visitations by quote-unquote space brothers, had been heavily involved with metaphysical subjects and groups. What set him apart from many others, however, was Van Tassel's legitimate involvement with mechanical engineering and aviation. Van Tassel was barely out of his teens when he relocated to California from his hometown in Jefferson, Ohio, to work in a garage owned by his uncle. It was while working there that he met a German immigrant and part-time prospector named Frank Kritzer, staking his claim near Giant Rock, California. Kritzer was later killed during a police raid that occurred at the location in 1942. It was later revealed that Kritzer had been a suspected German spy. After Kritzer died, Van Tassel took an interest in an abandoned airport near Giant Rock and was later granted a contract by the federal government to undertake a restoration of the property under the Bureau of Land Management. With his background in mechanical engineering and prospective airstrip near Giant Rock, Van Tassel went on to work for some of the more high-profile names in aviation during the ensuing years. These included Lockheed and flight innovator Howard Hughes' own Hughes Aircraft, among others. Eventually, Van Tassel would also turn his airport and surrounding attractions near Giant Rock into a sort of mecca for the soon-to-be booming flying saucer craze. The FBI's file on Van Tassel, numbering 315 pages, is mostly concerned with photocopies of pamphlets Van Tassel co-authored, which includes one titled Proceedings from the College of Universal Wisdom. Van Tassel was director of the College of Universal Wisdom in the early 1950s, according to the pamphlet. The batch of documents opens with a letter of an individual whose identity is redacted, sent to John F. Malone, the special agent in charge at the FBI's Los Angeles, California field office. The letter explains that the author is filing the information with Malone at the request of my friend, in quotes, a name that is also redacted, who had been seeking some information concerning the activities of individuals and the group known as the College of Universal Wisdom. The group ostensibly is devoted to a study of spaceships and interplanetary communication, the unnamed individual writes, but its consistent line in its publication is an attack upon atomic weapons and preaching of a nebulous peace. George W. Van Tassel is listed as director of the College of Universal Wisdom, and I know nothing whatever concerning him, it went on to write. However, at least one of the prominent guests at the spaceship convention at Giant Rock Airport Sunday, April 4th, had been questioned about supposed communist affiliations, the informant went on to write as well. However, in addition to Van Tassel's association with the Giant Rock area and his organization, the files do elaborate on the Bureau's concern about Van Tassel's airstrip and the location's former connections to a possible German spy during the war. You may recall that this area was the scene of some sensational happenings during World War II, the author of the letter to Special Agent Malone writes, when it was believed to be the projected site for refueling of suicide planes, possibly to be launched from Japanese submarines on the Gulf of California in an attempt to reach and bomb Hoover Dam's penstocks and powerhouses to cripple the airplane industry here. Your office no doubt has the full story on what happened then, including the destruction by dynamite in an underground room beneath Giant Rock of the then owner. Incidentally, Van Tassel and his family actually lived in quarters within these areas excavated by Kritzer in the 1940s, beginning in 1953. Beginning in 1953, he began holding public mediation events in these underground chambers. The same year was the launch of the annual Giant Rock Spacecraft Convention, as referenced in the letter to Special Agent Malone, which ran until Van Tassel's death in 1978. In addition to his contactee claims of meeting space brothers who granted him knowledge of Fountain of Youth-style rejuvenation, Van Tassel is perhaps best known for building the Integratron, a peculiar dome-shaped building described as being a uniquely resonant tabernacle and energy machine sited on a powerful geomagnetic vortex in the magical Mojave Desert. According to the website, the Integratron is located in Landers, California, 20 miles north of Joshua Tree National Park. Its creator, George Van Tassel, claimed that the structure is based on the design of Moses' Tabernacle, the writings of Nikola Tesla, and telepathic directions from extraterrestrials. This one-of-a-kind 38-foot-high, 55-foot-diameter all-wood dome was designed to be an electrostatic generator for the purpose of rejuvenation and time travel. However, as is made evident in the FBI's files on Van Tassel, the Bureau's concern with him had less to do with claims of meeting space brothers and everything to do with whether his College of Universal Wisdom had been a front for a Communist Party fundraising apparatus. A report dated August 4, 1954, outlined the Bureau's apparent fears in this regard as follows. The saucer groups appear to be another means of raising funds for the Communist Party, which chosen be the Communist screening group. Members would be given further indoctrination. A very conceivable place to clear them would be through such place as Giant Rock Airport, located approximately 15 miles northwest of Joshua Tree, California. The Giant Rock Group, which now is under construction, a so-called College of Universal Wisdom to be located at Giant Rock Airport, is, in my opinion, teaching and advocating the overthrow of the U.S. government by publishing literature which subtly aids in a communist indoctrination and could provide a substantial amount of revenue as a fundraising front group for the Communist Party. The saucer angle is undertoned in the Giant Rock literature in order to carry along any right-thinking people, the report concludes, apparently to obtain additional funds from them. Apparently, even that far back, the FBI thought little of the idea of flying saucers and advised that right-thinking people might be turned off by Van Tassel's Space Brother escapades. The entire file can be read at the FBI's The Vault online reading room. So there you go.
That's a lot to digest, my friend.
Yeah, it is. It's interesting, though, to check out what the FBI really thought of George Van Tassel and his organization, though.
You know, I got a couple of stories that were sent to me. People were like, have you ever heard of this place? You should check it out. And the first place I've got here is called The Haunting of the Hotel Monte Vista. Hotel Monte Vista is in Flagstaff, Arizona. And it's a setting now for a slew of really terrifying real-life ghost stories, many of which involve kind of creepy kids. Some guests of the hotel, including children, are reported seeing a little boy wandering the halls and hearing a child's voice as if he's walking right behind you. Some people even claim that the boy's ghost physically touched them. Now, guests of the hotel have also experienced other disturbing occurrences, such as cold male hands touching them as they try to sleep, TV channels changing at random, and light bulbs mysteriously unscrewing themselves. And some male guests have the feeling of hands placed over their mouths and throats and awakening, unable to breathe. And I don't think that's got to be part of their pamphlet to get you in there.
No.
But perhaps most terrifying of all is the reported sound of infants screaming in the hotel's basement. This disturbing sounds of infants crying in the basement have been heard again and again, explained the hotel site. Staff have found themselves running upstairs to escape the sound of the cries, though there has been no information that has explained this phenomena. If you're literally nuts and want to experience the horror for yourself, you can book yourself a night at the hotel. How about that? Yeah, that's a creepy-ass story. New Orleans is apparently bursting with paranormal activity as well. It's a hot spot for ghost hunters, as we know. But one spot that's particularly creepy is the Ursuline Convent. And the strange occurrences there reported, according to Ghost City Tours, people have reported the loud and unexplained sounds of children on multiple occasions outside the building. Both our guides and our guests report hearing the sounds of children playing in the courtyard at the Ursuline Convent at 10 p.m. There were no children present. Apparently, the closer people get to the convent, the louder the sounds become, despite there being no children. Some people even report seeing the apparition of a child. Ghost City Tours suspect that the haunting experiences are the sounds of the past playing over and over again, which makes no one feel better about anything. Why are the spirits of these children trapped at this old convent?
That's bizarre.
Yeah, those are some creepy stories. Hey, I do want to make a quick mention for those of you that have followed our show, Darkness Radio, Beyond the Darkness, for the past umpteen years. Many of you asked, what happened to Mally Fox? Well, the truth can now be told. Tim has had her locked in his basement in a well where he lowers her buckets of lotion to rub in or she gets the hose again.
That's right.
But he has finally let her out. And together they are working on a new podcast called Mally Fox on the Rocks. The first episode is up and available on YouTube,
I
believe, right?
You're close.
What is it?
You almost got it right. It's called On the Rocks with Mally Fox.
That's what I said. The Fox of Rocks is Mally Fox wearing socks on a box, eating a wax. What is she, a freaking Dr. Seuss book? What's it called? On the Rocks with Mally Fox?
On the Rocks with Mally Fox, isn't it?
Yeah, I was pretty close.
Yeah.
But that's up and available. You can tune into episode one. Tim and Mally spend 2 hours talking you through alcohol binges, fun times, lots of laughs. If you've been looking for Mally Fox, Tim has unleashed her on the world once again.
I have, yeah, unfortunately. No, I'm kidding. No, it's a great episode. It's all about Mally and her interests is what it is. And it's tied to her Paranormal Girl brand and she's got her own YouTube page. If you look up On the Rocks with Mally Fox, it's right there. And that's how you get it. You can also, if you follow her on social media, on Facebook, on Twitter, on Instagram, the link is on there too. So, but if you just go to YouTube, look up On the Rocks with Mally Fox, it's right. She's got her own page. Subscribe, and you'll get the show. Now, to explain, the show is a once-a-month show. This is the reason why, Dave, because as we do the show, we have a special cocktail that we make during the show, and we give you the recipe for it. If we did the show every week, we would be in rehab in a month or 2 months, and our livers would be shot. So it's a limited edition series or a limited series, so we do the show once a month. So
you've taken the concept of Cinco de Nino and stretched it now once a month, getting drunk with a co-host. I like that.
Well, I listened
to the first episode. You guys are pretty giggly 8 seconds into the show.
It's not getting drunk. But, you know, I mean, we have a few cocktails as we're doing the show. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Very cool. All right. Where are we going next in the world of supernatural news?
Ghostly snow kangaroos, Dave. That's where we're going.
What?
Ghostly snow kangaroos. I haven't. It's not that I've been having too many Dirty Shirley's, which is the first cocktail we have on the rocks with Mally Fox. It's that Australia actually had ghostly snow kangaroos lighting up Twitter recently. Yes, yeah. Some parts of New South Wales got hit by more snow than they've seen in years. Global warming my ass, Dave. It's snowing down there in New South Wales.
How do you really feel?
An unusual snowfall in New South Wales, Australia over the weekend led to surreal images of kangaroos hopping through a white landscape, Dave. I can't even see. It's that Dirty Shirley. The Weather Channel had some areas received up to 5 inches along with winds of up to 70 miles an hour. That's a snowstorm for you.
Yeah, it is.
Not something you see every day in Australia, tweeted one person, Stephen Grenfell, who captured some of the viral footage, kangaroos in the snow. Grenfell said on Twitter that the area in his clip is about 3 hours west of Sydney, and while it does snow a couple of times a year there, the weekend snowfall was the most he had ever seen. Others also shared photos and footage of kangaroos bouncing through the snow on Twitter. There's all kinds of tweets here and lots of cool photos of these kangaroos just bouncing around in the snow, having a good time. including one saying, lots of kangaroos out in the snow today. Most would hoop off as soon as they see you, but these two stayed long enough to get some photos. And you just see kangaroos playing around in the snow like it's no big deal, Dave. They love the snow.
Well, it is no big deal now. They're playing in snow. They deserve it, those hot bastards. I wonder if they get snow in their pouch, if it just gets moldy and gross in there, though.
Ew, yeah, I wonder. Yeah, this begs the question, why don't we have more kangaroos in Minnesota then? We have snow all the time.
Damn it, I wish we did. I missed the kangaroos when they were at the Minnesota State Zoo. Stupid, stupid fool.
Yeah.
All right, where are we off to next?
Well, this is the last story I have for today, Dave, and I saved the best for last.
I'll be the judge of that.
Oh, Dave, did I get a story for you?
What?
Have you rode the subway in New York often?
Have I? Never. No, would never plan on it either.
Oh, I have. And it's a fun little trip, especially when you're going uptown. I tell you, you see lots of good things on the New York subway, on the New York City subway, especially if you ride the 6 train. And commuters on the 6 train got a very interesting thing recently when they were riding home.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Commuting can be such a bug, Dave. In fact, there was a gigantic praying mantis which terrorized New York City subway riders as it hitched a ride on the 6 train. You know, you get some giant things in New York City. You get giant rats. You get all kinds of giant things. They grow things big in New York. They really do. But a praying mantis ensured that there were no flies on commuters as it hopped aboard a New York subway train this past week, and it caused quite a stir. City Councilman Keith Powers was traveling uptown on the 6 when another rider told him that his head was dangerously close to the long-legged insect. And when I say this thing is big, I don't exaggerate when I say big. He snapped a picture of the mantis as it clung to the metal inner frame of the subway cart and stared at passengers. This thing just stared people down. Now, captured in its synonymous praying pose, the bug seemed unfazed by worried people that were around it, eyeing up its sizable green and brown torso and black eyes. Sharing the post to social media, Powers wrote, "Like most New Yorkers, I'm frightened by the gigantic praying mantis on the subway, but also relieved that he didn't yell, 'It's showtime!'" The latter part referred to subway performers who often yell the phrase "showtime" before carrying out a dance-based or aerial display inside train carriages. The tweet has been liked 1,400 times and retweeted 220 times as of Wednesday evening. Equally amused and horrified by the insect, social media users left comments including, "Oh my God, scary," and "Holy crackers." I don't know that "holy crackers" is.
Holy crackers. Yeah. Watch your language. This is a family show.
I know, right?
Holy crackers.
Holy crackers. Account Bird Lawyer joked. That's an interesting name. "Careful. Last guy who saw that to her got his head torn off. I've seen roaches, rats, but that's creepy. Hashtag city kid," replied Roger Clark. "Anything that eats mosquitoes is okay with me." "Oh, commute and safari in one," Nama Yehuda added. City Council Speaker Corey Johnson credited the New York City transit boss with the new passenger. Andy Byford continues to improve the subways and up the game, he wrote. Powers later posted the shot of the movie poster for 1950 disaster thriller hit The Deadly Mantis. The film fittingly sees the giant insect being tracked from the North Pole to Manhattan by a U.S. colonel and a paleontologist. Now, to give you an idea of how big... Oh, wait, there's more to the story. An account for Roscoe the Bed Bug Dog chimed in to state that it's better to find a praying mantis than bed bugs hitching a ride. Opinions of New York wrote, "Wow, the only other gigantic praying mantis I've seen on the subway was New York City Mayor when his SUV taking him to his mid-morning workout broke down. Ha, ha, ha." Another user jested that it must be a Teenage Mutant Ninja Mantis. Even the official MTA Subway Twitter account responded, sharing a GIF of film character Beetlejuice stating the words "It's showtime," to which another user replied that the account wins the Twitter award. Now, to give you an idea of how big this praying mantis is, if you know what the area above a subway car looks like or how big it is, it's about... maybe, I don't know, a foot and a half above from the door frame to the ceiling. This thing was half of that. So this thing is probably a good... it's probably a good foot long. It's about a foot to a foot and a half long.
That's giant. It's all the people flushing their meth. They're creating meth gators. They're creating giant nuclear irradiated praying mantis, Tim. It's just a matter of time until the world is swallowed up by the indigenous species, which are now mutating and growing larger.
Yeah, it does not look real. It looks like a rubber animal you would buy like at a joke shop. It doesn't look real.
I got a couple other creepy little stories here to share before we wrap up the program. Anybody that's ever been to the Stanley Hotel in Estes Park, Colorado, can be overwhelmed by the beauty of the place. And they tend to forget just how creepy it can be as well. In June of 2017, a family reportedly attended a spirit tour at the hotel. But it wasn't until they got home that they realized the ghostly vibes may have been all too real. A photograph reportedly taken by the family of the hotel staircase appears to show two ghostly figures of young girls, despite the fact that no one matching this description was present during the tour. That's kind of like those creepy twins from The Shining, dude. Even Ben Hansen, a former FBI agent and host of the TV show Factor Fake Paranormal Files, apparently thinks the photos may be legit. He said, as long as these photos weren't doctored, this ranks as one of the best photos of paranormal evidence I've ever seen. Gotta like that, huh?
Yeah.
Gotta love a good poltergeist story, too. And this one is considered very true, very unexplained, according to Haunted Rooms website. Three women who made up the Beck family moved into an Indianapolis home in the 1960s. Strange and mysterious things began to take place, such as a cup reportedly moving on its own and other objects crashing to the ground, while everyone in the house was on a different floor. Their family existence wasn't a peaceful one. The household suffered a lot of stress and turmoil, which only seemed to encourage the ghostly spirit in its antics. Eventually, things spiraled, ended with objects and glassware being smashed to the ground while the women were home, and the members of the family having unexplained scratches and bruises on their body. The events were investigated, but to this day, much of what took place in that house has no explanation. And then Mackinac Island or Mackinac Island. I'm not sure. What's the proper way to say that?
It's Mackinac, yeah.
Okay, so Mackinac Island, a small isle along Lake Huron that's part of Michigan, has a very dark past. This spot is the site of a ton of reported paranormal activity. But one of the most chilling and malevolent parts of the tourist destination is known as the Drowning Pool, which is a body of water with a 20-foot drop-off, according to Todd Clements, a historian and the founder of the Haunts of Mackinac Ghost Tours. Seven women who were suspected of being witches had rocks tied to their feet and were thrown into the water. All the women drowned. To this day, there are reported hauntings at the pool. We've seen shadows come out of the water that make no noise or ripples, said Clements in an interview with Midland Daily News. We've heard huge splashes that were too big to be fish, and no one is around. I have chills just thinking about it, Tim. Thinking about it. Well, because it's outdoors.
Well, yeah.
And drowning witches. Finally, child hauntings, as long as we're talking creepy ones, a notably creepy-ass combo. But if you're on the Dear David train, you remember that storyline of Dear David, which I still believe was fake? I've got a really creepy story to share. The entire, or enter the true story of Roland Doe, a 13-year-old boy from Washington, D.C. Sound familiar, Tim?
Yeah.
He was reportedly possessed by demons back in 1949, according to accounts published on ATI. The child would enter a trance-like state and start making sounds and guttural voices. Among other disturbing paranormal phenomena, a reverend who was working with the child reportedly claimed he saw an X appear in scratches on Ronald's chest. And as described in an incident in which a pitchfork-shaped pattern of red lines moved from the boy's thigh and snaked down toward his ankle. These are just a few of the haunting details of what turned out to be one of the most horrifying alleged demon possessions in history. In fact, Roland Doe's possession and subsequent exorcism was the basis for the famed horror film and book The Exorcist, Tim. I mean, like that, some creepy little stories to share. Our phone lines are open. Remember, Beyond... Voices from Beyond.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'll get it right, Tim. I mean, it's so brand new to the show.
It is, yeah.
It's only been on for 3 years. Voices from Beyond Voicemail, 651-300-4977. Call and share your stories for an upcoming episode. That's it today. Tune in tomorrow. We've got Ghost Hunters. The Ghost Hunters return to A&E Channel. We've got two of the Ghost Hunters with us tomorrow here on the best in paranormal talk radio. This is Beyond the Darkness.